If you see someone who does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. And all but maybe four or five of these verses deal with the Word of God. Every single verse. And so there's a reason for that. It's in the middle, right in the middle of your Bible there. And God purposely puts it in there and makes it so long so that we can meditate on God's Word and for other reasons. But Psalm 119, verse number 32. Psalm 119, verse number 32. We're going to read one verse together in unison. And shall we read, please? I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I'm going to talk to you this morning about enlarging the heart. Enlarging the heart. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for the folks that are here. Thank you for the visitors that are here. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, for salvation. Thank you for the day that someone shared the gospel with us and we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. What a day that was, dear God, when we walked from darkness into light. We walked from death into life. And I just thank you, dear God, that one day when the trumpet sounds and, Lord, you come take us home or death, if you tarry, what a day that'll be. We get to walk on the other side, on the shores of heaven, and see you face to face. Until then, dear God, give us the grace and strength and the power and the wisdom that we need to live a daily Christian life, a victorious Christian life. And I pray, dear God, that this sermon here, this Bible study this morning, will be a help to folks here this morning. And I pray if they listen, I believe it will be a help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm 119 and verse number 32. The psalmist says, I will run the way of thy commandments, watch this, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. First off, I want to start off with you with the obvious before I get to this Bible study, the sermon this morning. The obvious is that God is an infinite God. There's no way that mere mortal man can understand an immortal, an infinite God. We are finite creatures. We have finite minds. And it's impossible for finite minds to comprehend, scratch the surface of an infinite God. But I want you to know that God is infinite. I have to start off with that basis because in the sermon this morning, I want to tell you something. I want to teach you something that your heart can be enlarged greater and bigger than you think it can be. That means that God has designed us to do things greater than we think we are capable of. That means that God has designed us to make us love people more than we think we could love people. That means God has designed us to make us forgive and have mercy on others more than we presently think we can. As long as you are living for God, as long as you're spending time with God and reading the Word of God and doing what God wants you to do, listen to me good, God will enlarge your heart more than you ever dreamed possible. As a result of your heart being enlarged, Psalm 119, verse 32 says, you will then obey the word of God more. Look what it says. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, being saved is instantaneous. The day you got saved, I don't know where you were. I don't know how old you are. Where I was 21 years old living in New York City. I got on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul from hell. All right? And that was instantaneous. I mean, twinkling of an eye, I was saved. Before I even uttered the words, Jesus saved my soul. But living the Christian life is a process that you have to live out or work out your salvation. It is a time of growth. It's a time of learning. It's a time of reading. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of being disciplined. It's a time of growing. How you grow, you may not realize it, is that you little by little open your heart up to the things of God. When I got saved, I had no idea about the things of God at all. Not at all. I came out of lighting my candles and doing what my priest told me to do. I was 21 years old on my way to hell, never read my Bible. I thought Job was Job in the Bible. I didn't know how to pronounce. I thought Psalms was Psalms because that's how they say it in the Greek word. In the Greek language, is Psalm. That's why I used to pronounce it Psalm because I didn't know it was a Psalm. I mean, I was so ignorant of the things of God, I didn't know anything. But what happens after you get saved, you start reading the Bible, you start praying, you start coming to church, you start learning. And the closer you get to God, the more you want to be open to God, and God opens your heart to things that you were never open to before. That's why if you look at me for the first 21 years and you look at me now, it's like a 180-degree turn, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's unbelievable. I didn't do that. John Kalidas did not do that. But when I opened my heart to the things of God, God changed me. God redirected my path. God redirected my eternity because I didn't realize this. My heart was opening and opening and opening for the things of God. So as you sit here this morning, don't get mad at some preaching that you hear me preach about or some teaching you hear me teach about. You just sit there and let your heart get opened a little bit. You go to God and say, "Dear God, is this right? What's the Bible say about this? And dear Holy Spirit, please help me. Give me wisdom." Your job is to love God, because if you love God, your heart in time will open. And when your heart opens, you'll be able, I'm telling you, it'll be a lot easier obeying the Word of God than having a closed heart and say, I'm just going to do it because, you know, my parents are forcing me. Or I'm going to do it because my husband is forcing me. And I'm just going to do it because the pastors tell me I have to do this. No. It's a condition of the heart. You want to do it because you love God. It's not because a preacher's saying it. It's not because your parents are saying it. It's not because your husband is saying it. It's not because your Sunday school teacher's saying it. It's because you want to do it because your heart wants to serve God and wants to love God. And the more your heart opens up, the more you want to obey God. You ought to obey God by faith. You get saved by faith. You get baptized by faith. You live by faith. That means as you read the Word of God, as you learn more about God and His Word, you ought to yield yourself to Him, and you should be willing and wanting to obey God and His Word. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So the more you love Him, the more you'll keep it. He said in John 7, verse 17, "If any man will do his will," here it is. So what's God's will in my life? It's right here. You're waiting for some palm reader, some fortune teller to tell you about your life, when God's got it written right here. I wonder what God's will is for my life. When's the last time you read it? You'll never know what God's will is for your life if you don't read the book. So here's what Jesus said. If any man will do his will, right here, he shall know of the doctrine. So if you do his will, you'll know what his doctrine is. And it's like a hamster in one of those circular things that just keep running after food. They keep running. It's like a catch-22. You read the Word of God, and you love him more. You love him more, and you keep reading the Word of God. It's like it's a continuum. It continues all the time. The Bible says this in Isaiah 60. Pay attention. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." Now I know Isaiah 60 is talking about Israel and the people of Israel. I understand that. But the same principle applies to winning other people and converting people. When you don't see people getting saved, you are limiting your heart from opening up more. There's just something that happens to the end of it. I don't know about you, but I remember the first person I led to Jesus Christ. I remember the second person I led to Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, the reason I remember those two is because I'd never done it before. And God just opened my heart because other people got saved to where I had never been before. It's like salvation. God had opened my heart. I'd never been saved before. I said, "Wow, this is great." So I read my Bible. This is great. I start coming to church. This is great. When I started telling other people about Jesus Christ and I saw people getting saved, don't tell me it doesn't change your life. Don't tell me it doesn't change your thinking. It opens your heart. And God enlarges your heart for people that maybe you didn't care about before. Hey, you know why some people are racist? Because you don't go soul winning. Yeah. Yeah. You know why you hate other races? Because you don't care about their souls. You don't try to give them the gospel. I'm telling you, I had a missionary tell me this one time. He came to our church, the old building. And I won't tell you his name, but he said, you know, Brother Cletus, I've been, because, you know, our church hasn't changed in the makeup in 27 years. It's about the same makeup we've had for the last 27 years, to be honest with you. Here's what he told me. He says, Pastor Cletus, I can't tell you how many people are supporting me to go to a heathen nation, listen to me good, to a black country, but they won't go across the street to tell a black man how to get saved. That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. I'm telling you, let's say you have a problem with a race. You know what you ought to do? You ought to go to that race and tell them about Jesus. I told you before, you know, growing up, look, I'm Greek, okay? So if you don't know this history, it's going to go, not going to sit well with you. But when I was growing up, if I could find a Turk and kill him without anybody knowing it, I would have done it. Because the Turks enslaved the Greeks for 400 years, man. Bitter enemies, man. I cannot tell you the story. And if you think these Muslims are peaceful, loving people, you have your head in the sand. I'm telling you what. They're going to destroy this country. But if I could find a Turk, I would have killed him if I could get away with it. I'm telling you. Yeah, I would have. Uncharged crimes? I don't know. Is the law of, what's the date of that's passed? I don't know. It's a thought crime. Amen. It's a thought crime. But one of the greatest things I ever did was give a gospel tract to a Turkish guy and try to get him saved. You know what God does? He opens your heart to areas that you were closed to before. And if you don't try giving the gospel to somebody, you're going to have a closed heart to people that you should have an open heart to. And so when you give the gospel out and you try to witness to somebody, I'm telling you, it'll happen. As Isaiah 60 says, you're going to fear, thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. Some of you are sitting here this morning and your heart's closed, maybe a little open, but you have to look way down the road how God is going to enlarge your heart in areas and in ways you cannot foresee, ladies and gentlemen. An infinite God will allow you as an infinite person to have an enlarged heart to do great things for God, greater than you could ever realize. So as a result of being enlarged, you'll obey the word of God more. As a result of realizing God's blessings and seeing people come to Jesus Christ, God will enlarge your heart. It's also when you see the blessings of God and people coming to God that God will enlarge your heart. The Bible says in 1 Kings 4:29 that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, watch this, and largeness of heart. Why was Solomon the wisest man? Because God said, Solomon, ask anything you want, I'll give it to you. You know what God said about Solomon? He didn't ask for the life of his enemies. He didn't ask for riches. He asked for wisdom to lead such a great people as these. Dear God, I don't know how to do this. Dear God, I don't know how to lead all these people. I don't know how to teach all these people. I don't know what to tell them. Dear God, I need your help for all these people. You know what God did? God opened his heart. He enlarged his heart from before. So as a result of or praying for wisdom and understanding for others, God will enlarge your heart. That was after prayer where Solomon prayed and asked God for wisdom and understanding to help all these people. He did not ask for riches like we do. He didn't demand presents, you know, from Satan claws, you know. He didn't terrorize his parents. You better buy me this. So God enlarged Solomon's heart to lead God's people because Solomon's heart was right in what he was asking. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 11, Paul writes, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitening us, but ye are straitening your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. So Paul's writing to the Corinthian people, and he says, be enlarged. As a result, listen to me good, as a result of being with the right crowd, with the right fellowship and the old-time religion, the right kind of old-fashioned church, God will enlarge your heart by that kind of influence. You will eventually, if you love God, adopt the right attitude and the right standards. You know, there's some things I believe today you would have never convinced me 30 years ago. There's some things I believe that you would have never convinced me 35 years ago. I got saved 37 years ago. If you told me 40 years ago that I'd be preaching in an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church, I would have said some choice words to you and laughed and mocked at you and had a good time with you. Do you think I've really been here? I'd be in Alaska hunting fish, bear, and salmon, amen? You think I'd be stuck? Stuck. In Troy? Beautiful and historic Troy, New York? Huh? We had friends of ours down in Florida years ago. We first moved up here. I think it was the first year we were up here. First, second year they were down in Florida on the beach. And they were sitting next to somebody, and they said, they got to meet somebody and said, oh, where are you from? And they said, we're from New York. And they said, our friends said, oh, we have friends in upstate New York. So they said, we're in Troy. He said, oh, Troy's the armpit of New York. All the way down to Florida, amen. You think I would have been stuck here? You think I would have been here against my will, forced to do this? No, God enlarged my heart, ladies and gentlemen. The right company, the right people, the right church, God changed my heart and opened it. In areas I had not even dreamed or even wanted. Didn't even want it. I fought God. Just like you did, you know what I'm talking about. God says in Psalm 81, verse 10, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Have you ever seen baby robins in their nest? And the mother robin comes into the nest with a worm or some other food? They all open their mouths wide. You ever see it? So the mother robin can drop some food in their mouths. And that's exactly how God's people ought to be with God. God has spiritual food and blessings to give us. Our job is to simply open our mouths wide. Open our hearts wide. When a person constricts and closes their heart to God, God cannot give that person any of his blessings that that person would have otherwise received. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's thing, line of things made ready to our hand. When you see other people's faith growing, your heart is enlarged. There's just something about it. You know, there's strength in numbers, and you know when somebody starts living right, somebody gets saved, somebody gets right with God, and somebody stops sinning in some area, and somebody starts doing something for God, there's just something inside say, wow, that is great, God, and God enlarges your heart. God opens your heart. As a result of your heart and God enlarging your heart, you will be more concerned than you are right now about lost sinners dying without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior on the way to hell. That's what Paul said. When your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel. God wants the gospel preached. So when your heart breaks, it's because God allows it to break. God softens the heart. Others have been praying for you. The Holy Spirit of God has been working on your heart. Someone cared enough about you to pray for you. The Bible is very clear in Genesis 9 and Exodus 34 and Deuteronomy 12 and 1 Chronicles 4 and Amos 1 that God enlarges nations when they gain territory and their borders change and increase. They are enlarged. And God says in Deuteronomy 12, when the Lord shall enlarge thy border, as he hath promised thee, God increases nations and constricts nations, listen to me good, on how they are with God. There was a time when the sun never set on English soil. Now it's constricted back to a little old island, isn't it? Isaiah 54 says, single barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Say, man, I could never have 5 kids or 10 kids, or I could never have all those kind of children. Well, you can one by one, and God will enlarge your heart. You choose, listen to me good, you choose not to do it. You just can't have somebody dropping 8 or 10 children in your lap all of a sudden take care of them like that. But God has a plan. He's put a principle in life, one by one, sometimes two by two, I don't know. We had a family across the street, had 14 children. They had 3 sets of twins, amen? Yeah. Great time for a baseball game, amen? They lived on the right side, on the left side of the twin house where the picket passage, they had 11 children. 11 children and 14 children, amen? Great time for a baseball game, amen? But if you're willing, God will enlarge your heart. It's like truth. Some people loved it when they first came here. Some of you didn't like it. For you to be here, that means God's enlarged your heart, amen? You know? Knowledge. You get knowledge little by little, baby steps, class by class, grade by grade. You go to elementary school, junior high, then senior high, then college. It's like the things of God, precept upon precept. It's like soul winning. You learn as you go. When you witness, you gain more boldness as you witness. You didn't know what to say when you started praying. You grow in your prayer life. God opens your heart. You're reading your Bible. First it was milk. Hopefully now it's meat. When you ask God for wisdom, you keep asking. You never stop for asking Him. Say, how can you love unlovable people? A little bit at a time. Let me ask you a question. How in the world do we have arranged marriages that didn't ever get divorced? Let me just repeat that. For 5,800 years or so, we had arranged marriages for the most part, and you hardly ever heard about divorce. Most of them, sometimes they didn't even meet each other. But their marriages lasted. You know why? Because you grow on people, and they grow on you. And when you're with somebody, your heart opens, and you get used to somebody. You don't realize it, but love is not an emotion. It's a decision that you make. It's a commitment that you make. Sure, it's good to have emotional feelings. Sure, it's good to have warm, fuzzy feelings. I'm for that. But that's not love. That's just emotion. Those are just feelings. Love says, I'm going to be faithful to you. Love says, I'm going to honor you. Love says, I'm going to obey you. Love says, I'm going to die for you. That's a decision. When you do that, guess what? Your heart opens. You know, how many times you look at somebody and say, boy, that person, but then all of a sudden you say, huh, you know what? They're pretty good. It's God opens your heart. I'm just telling you. God opens your heart. God enlarges your heart. Not just for people, but for things, the things of God. Amen. Forgiveness and mercy. You have to think and remember how forgiving and merciful the Lord Jesus Christ was to you. And only then will you be able to forgive and be merciful to others, ladies and gentlemen. Someone once told me before I became a pastor, I was upset about something and somebody, and he said, you'll forgive them. And I said, no, I'll never forgive them. But they knew my Christianity better than I knew my Christianity. They knew about my God better than I did at that time because I was so mad and I was so angry and I could never forgive so-and-so. But my God opened my heart and enlarged my heart. Yeah, He did. I know it's not very popular sometimes, but you know what? You cannot be merciful and forgiving to others if you don't realize how Jesus Christ is merciful and forgiving to you. How do you have patience? How can you put up with that kind of an attitude that some people have sometimes? How do you learn to deal with difficult people? Well, you ask God for wisdom and allow God to open your heart, not them, but for God to enlarge your heart so you can see that they have hurts and needs like everyone else. And they're being bitter because something else is going on in their life or something is missing in their life. It may not be you. You just have to ask God to enlarge your heart and allow God to do that. Sometimes people get mad at me. Most times people get mad at me because they don't like some standards. And I understand that. In the world that we live in, I understand that. It's because people close their hearts a lot of times. That's why most people get upset at this kind of Bible study that we had in the morning service. They get upset. Oh, you know, you're just ruining my holidays. If one Bible study can ruin your holiday, you got a problem with that holiday. Hello? Say, well, that doctrine didn't make sense to me when I first got saved or when I first started coming. I understand that principle, you know, or that separation issue. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I don't ever stop growing. I don't want to ever stop learning. I want God to enlarge my heart day by day. I don't give up on anybody because I believe everybody has the potential of humbling themselves before a holy God and opening their heart to God. So I do not want to close my door and my heart on anybody as long as they're breathing. Even if they're my worst enemy, I believe that God can work a miracle through somebody. If they're breathing and God can work on their heart and God can answer prayer, I'm not giving up on anybody. They may not like my preaching. They may not think I'm their friend. But I am determined to love as many people as I possibly can that I come in contact with. Have you ever said, man, I wish I could be like that, or I wish I could do what he or she does for God? Well, you can. You just need to be patient. You just need to ask God. You need to watch, learn, listen, develop, grow, try. Oh, I could never do that. Yes, you could. Yeah, yes, you could. I could never be like that. Yes, you could. I can't tell you how many times you guys came here for the first time and said, man, Pastor, I'll never wear a shirt and tie. If I ever find a guy who ever invented a tie, I'd strangle him with this tie, amen? I hate ties. I hate ties. But there's something more important than me liking or hating ties. You grow. God enlarges your heart. There's a purpose. There's a reason. There is a cause greater and bigger than yourself. And you stop, when you stop looking at yourself, you see other people that are hurting, God will enlarge your heart. Too many people hold grudges against people because they're shallow and immature. You ought to ask God to help you grow out of it. Some people are nicer to murderers that you want to see saved or come to church than other separated soul-winning Christians that tick them off. That boggles my mind. So God's, so-called God's people get mad at old-fashioned preachers more than they get mad at their children who disobey. They turn out to be sodomites. They're lazy. They're disrespectful. It doesn't make sense to me. You should never quit on God because you have not grown to a certain level where others have grown. Do not feel inadequate or incomplete because all of us are there, ladies and gentlemen. You just need to be patient. But you should have a heart's desire that says, dear God, I want to do thy will. Not my will, but thy will be done. You need to open your heart to Jesus. You need to open your heart to the Word of God. You need to open your heart to obeying God's Word. The question is, are you saved? Don't worry about all the other religious issues and doctrinal decisions right now and discussions. Are you saved? Are you born again? That's the first step to enlarging your heart, and it's to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, I wish that was true. All you need to do is open your heart, and you'll find out that it is true. Some of you are shocked today because where you are in God and what you are doing for God and how much you love God and praise God, aren't you? Think back where you were 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago. Think where you were 15, 20 years ago in a saloon somewhere, drunk, puking your brains out over the ivory toilet. Yeah. Some of you are shocked you're sitting in church. Some of your relatives almost dropped dead of a heart attack when they found out you came to church. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. If someone had told you this is where you'd be 5 years or 10 years down the road, you would be laughing at them. And they'd laugh at you. But you know what? You grew on God. And God enlarged your heart. You learned to love him more and more a little at a time. Until now, here we are. I never thought I'd be preaching the gospel of the grace of God, salvation only through Jesus Christ. I never thought I'd be in an old-fashioned hellfire and damnation Baptist church. I never thought I'd have the same standards that some of my great-grandparents had that were lost. I never thought I'd hold the highest position of the land, and that's of preacher. I never thought I'd be going through the streets and neighborhoods and projects looking for sinners to get saved. I never thought I'd love this book as much as I love it now. I never thought I'd love praying to my God and telling him how wonderful he is all the time. I never thought I'd enjoy church more than getting presents under the Jeremiah 10 tree. I still didn't mention the name. I never thought I'd enjoy memorizing Bible verses more than painting Ishtar eggs. I never thought I'd enjoy Christianity more than football games and hockey games. I never thought I'd enjoy giving to God more than making money and keeping it. I never thought I'd enjoy being tired working for God than relaxing and taking leisure. I never thought I'd enjoy the gospel songs and hymns more than lighting religious candles. I never thought I'd enjoy seeing people getting saved like I do today. I never dreamed of it. But God opened my heart and God enlarged my heart. I was lost in sin and headed to hell. I remember it so very well. I thought my life was fine. After all, it was mine. And so I lived with a stony, cold heart, masquerading it from the start. I was a jokester and comedian. To the world, all was très bien. For my heart was empty without God, but I had money in a big old wad. Then one beautiful, earth-shattering day, I heard in my heart God say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," and I decided to unbolt the lock. From that precious day until now, oh, the blessings that God has allowed. I have learned the more I give, He has taught me the happier I live. I never knew this feeling before when I stood on the other shore. But I saw others on the other side. Their joy could not be denied. They had crossed the river of doubt and left the land of pity and pout. So I made a decision to cross the river on my way to my new Christian endeavor. I left the land of quenching my Lord when I heard a voice say, "All aboard." And now I am happy in trusting Him instead of going by every whim. I remember arriving and hitting the sand. I've opened my heart here in this land. There was something different from the start before it was closed, but I've opened my heart. I've now said yes to things I had refused and have seen how greatly I have been used. The things I loved, I left behind, and now God's joys and blessings I find. God has opened my heart and my eyes. Oh, God, teach me what is right and wise. Now I see and understand that it was best for me to leave that land. The crossing over was frightening, you see. I thought I'd miss I Love Lucy. But when God enlarged my heart, I thought I would. But when God enlarged my heart, a communist. But when God, she was. You know she was a communist supporter? Yeah. But when God enlarged my heart, I put the horse before the cart. I've stayed here now quite some time and feel guilty of my past crime. And I've never been more encouraged since God my heart enlarged. Why don't you open your heart to Jesus today? You'll be amazed what God will do for you and with you and through you if you just open your heart, allow God to enlarge it, and do not quench the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, there's not a one of us in this room that can say I've reached the epitome of the Christian life. There's not a person in this room that can't say that I haven't fallen short in some area. There's not a person in this room, they can say honestly, that I don't have any regret or guilt about something in the past. But dear God, I pray that if there's folks in this room that have never trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior, I pray that today they would open their heart to receive you as their Savior. I pray, dear God, for those who are saved. Maybe they've never been baptized in a Baptist church. I pray they'll come forward and get baptized today. Maybe folks are saved and they've been baptized and they've been coming to church. But for some reason, the love of money has waxed cold. In the society that we live in, this world that we live in, it's almost easy now to have a cold heart. We've closed our hearts to godly things, to your book, to your house, to your people, and to reaching people. I pray, dear God, that we'd make a decision of love today to allow you to enlarge our heart. We can't see down the road what's going to happen in our lives, where we're going to be, what we'll be doing. But I pray, dear God, our prayer would be that, Lord, I want my heart to be open to thee and the things of thee. Bless these dear folks, Lord, for being here, for their faithfulness. I pray that you bless them, their families, their health, their finances, their spiritual needs. But I pray, dear God, this morning, they would draw nigh to thee and open their hearts to thee so that you can enlarge their heart like Paul, like Solomon. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. Christians praying.